bring the court to order, please. Record reflect that all members of court are present with the exception of Commissioner Clark. Now need to recess our Commissioners' Court and convene a public hearing on our budget and tax rate. Anyone that would like to make comment on our budget? Mr. Yaw.
My name is Eric Yawlik. I'm from Precinct 3. Commissioner Nowak, when your youngest son is qualified to run for President of the United States, at the current rates of growth, Montgomery County's population will be 1.3 million in that year, and the budget of the Montgomery County government will be just slightly over $2 billion. The portion of our disposable income going to taxes has quadrupled in my lifetime. I'm 57 years old. Parents can't afford to spend time at home with their children during their formative years because they have to work to pay taxes to maintain the same standard of living that basically places, that process then places more pressure on our schools. I'm glad that you recognized last week the important leadership role of this Commissioner's Court in our community. You may not have the biggest budget, but you are who the people watch. In a community of conservative Republicans, you should show the world what true budget-cutting government is all about. This $344,381,573 proposed budget is a failure. Only one department engaged in zero-based budgeting, but you rejected their proposal. Instead, you excluded citizen participation in a process that was little more than a process like watching Santa Claus granting wishes at a department store at Christmas time. It's the worst of baseline budgeting because all you're doing is you're building in spending increases every single year. A friend of mine this morning sent me a text message that what I should be doing today is handing you the golden rubber stamp. What's remarkable to me is that none of you, with the exception of Commissioner Clark, will even discuss the concept of zero-based budgeting. Now, I want to talk about a few specific departments. First of all, the county judge's office needs a reduction in salaries. Only one admin is necessary. The chief of staff shouldn't be making $100,000 a year. The HR and risk management department should be run the way that most Fortune 500 companies run them. They merge those departments together and economize in both departments. Salaries are too high in both of those departments. The current HR director, Ms. Shaw, has the training to run risk management, while it's apparent that our top four managers in risk management don't even have the same background or training that she does. The purchasing department has overpaid employees. They're undertrained, and they clearly lack the independence necessary. And where we are losing literally millions of dollars every year, and Judge Doyle, you and I discussed this specifically on one occasion, is in the amount of money that we're spending on engineering contracts is enormously inflated. Information technology requires deep reform. Too many employees, overlapping cost centers. To the public, and quite frankly to this Commissioner's Court, that is a department that is almost entirely opaque. The county auditor's budget is clearly one of the most serious problems that the citizens and this Commissioner's Court face. Outside of the audit function over which the Board of District Judge supervises, this court should oversee the budget of this office, at least under Texas law, as elaborated in Harris County Commissioner's Court versus Fullerton, a Houston Court of Appeals case. There are 20 people in the auditor's office performing the functions of about six people. The county, and that's the non-audit employees. The county auditor should never audit her own work and should never come close to the political or policy process. Her accounting functions probably ought to move to to another department so that the county auditor has independence and actually oversees expenditures, or at least audits them. Building maintenance has approximately 4 times the number of managers that it needs. That department needs at least 2 additional licensed trades. That's probably 1 more electrician and 1 licensed HVAC technician, which it lacks. The nepotism and politics in that department needs to go away now. The janitorial department, I guess y'all call it custodial maintenance, is top heavy. It's got too many managers. It ought to be outsourced, and clearly that would save the taxpayers of this county about 60% of the amount of that budget of that entire department. The airport civic center and fair complex should support themselves, but instead are losing hundreds of thousands of dollars each year. The Memorial Library is being run as though we're in the 1970s and using methodology from 4 to 5 decades ago. And by the way, relying on usage patterns of 4 to 5 decades ago. Spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on periodical subscriptions is totally unnecessary in 2018 when we should be buying EBSCOhost and JSTOR for $15,000 a year with an unlimited license. The budget office director should follow her direction only from the entire commissioner's court, but instead she's become the whipping boy for Jim Fredericks. She's a very talented lady with no authority whatsoever. The welfare department is basically not a department. It is a group of charities that you've decided for political reasons to give them money, and those NGOs should be supporting themselves. The commissioner's precincts are hiding literally millions of dollars each year in what I call slush funds, and you call account number 7997 carryovers. That needs to stop. Those funds need to be disclosed in your budget in accordance with the provisions of the Texas Local Government Code. The disparity in the personnel budgets from one commissioner's precinct to the next reveals the inefficiencies in, quite frankly, at least 3 of those 4 commissioners' precincts. When you have a disparity where Precinct 3 has a $1.5 million personnel budget and Precinct 1 has a $3.381 million personnel budget, you know there's a problem. It's very disconcerting that 2 members of the commissioner's court, just at will, can come up with $24,000 a year each to hire a taxpayer-funded lobbyist. That tells you that there's a lot of unnecessary fluff in a budget. As for the animal shelter, it's a real mess inside there. Costs are soaring because they're refusing to take simple actions to move animals out the front door, and those simple actions would not cost any money. Facebook is free. The budget is 350% over what it was 3 years ago, and the killing inside that animal shelter is higher than it's ever been, probably higher even than when Todd Boss Hayden was the animal shelter director. As for county employee benefits, it's actually sad to even be addressing this issue. Back in the olden days, when I was a teenager, giving great government benefits was the thank you to government employees who earned substantially below market wages. But now in the Montgomery County government, they're all earning much higher than market wages are in the private sector. The government benefits in that context are outrageous. The retirement contribution in this county is outrageous, and we should phase out retiree health care coverage altogether. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go line by line through the budget, although I'm prepared to do so if you'd like. And I can explain to you the waste and inefficiency in every single county department outside of the law enforcement departments. If you pass this budget, you will embarrass yourselves and the citizens you represent again. We'll have hundreds of budget amendments again during the coming year. And in those budget amendments, once again, as you did during fiscal year 2018, you will circumvent the entire legal process for budgeting. The $300,000 savings that you, Judge Doyle, and you, Commissioner Nowak, promised us from the county auditor's budget went up in the air. No one believes you as you try to blame the Board of District Judges. You made the promises, not them. Finally, giving a modest salary increase based upon a true cost of living adjustment might have been acceptable for lower civil service tier employees. In fact, the Citizens Budget Committee endorsed that proposal. But private companies aren't even doing that now because of the uncertain nature of the economy. However, a 3% across-the-board increase is nothing less than pure greed and the exercise of power just because you have it, rather than because it's the right thing to do. No one who votes for a budget to include a disgusting salary increase for yourselves should ever receive one vote again. It's the five of you, or actually the four of you, since Commissioner Clark is ill, versus the 575,000 citizens of our community. You're clinging to baseline budgeting. In reality, I don't think that any of you know what's even in this budget. Well, my primary suggestion is that you just vote no on the budget. You could follow your own policy analytical approach from last week to appoint someone to one of the most important offices in our community. There could be 575 slips of paper for the Citizens Budget Committee budget and five for your budget. But I am willing to make the odds better for you. Two pieces of paper, one for the CBC budget and one for the anti-citizen budget that is what you call the proposed budget. Why don't you take the chance and do the right thing? It's only 50-50. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to make a comment about today's proposed budget tax rate? All right. Item number four, consider and adopt the budget for fiscal year ending September 30th, 2019.
We need to reconvene.
Recess our public hearing, reconvene our commissioner's court, and under item number four, consider, discuss, and adopt the budget for fiscal year ending September 30th.
Judge, before we do that, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm going to do a quick presentation.
Got it.
Good morning, gentlemen. Today I'm going to discuss a quick update on the proposed budget. What it included, just some historical facts and some comparisons. For FY19, we're proposing the budget to be $344,381,573. As you can see, this is actually less than what you adopted in fiscal year 17. So even after 2 years, your budget still has gone down since the last 2 years. There has been a 4.83% increase year over year, but I do think that due to the CPI increase, CPI alone was 2.98% from year over year. That's almost a 3% increase just in inflation alone. So the supplies that we buy, the things like that, have increased on average almost 3%. The population since one summer over the last, and again, this is an older number, but we expect the summer 2018 number to be very similar, almost a 3% increase over prior year. And then Montgomery County has a very low unemployment rate compared to the national average. I think that's something that tells you kind of how the marketplace is for the employees too. So that's kind of how we got to those 3% that we talked about.
We were named, I think 2 weeks ago, I heard we were the number 4 top job producing county in the state of Texas. Pretty good statistic.
Now, the revenues were done by the auditor's office. Budget office reviewed them and was pleased to put them in our budget, along with the help from the tax office. But just to kind of give you, again, for the FY19 proposed budget, we're only taking a little bit more taxes than we did back in FY17. Obviously, most of that breakout is going to be the general fund, and then the debt service portion is going to be the second largest. How do we get our taxes? We get a lot of these questions. 73% of our total budget does come from the ad valorem taxes. That's going to be your general fund, road and bridge, and debt service. Intergovernmental funds, that's going to be our grant funds, some of our contracts are in the green section, in the orange section. Basically 4.74% and almost over 10% of our budget comes from outside sources. So we're literally a pass-through. We're taking that money from those agencies and we're providing the service to the citizens. Again, this one is a actual expenditure history. You can tell that between FY17, FY18, FY19, there have been some major functions that have dropped their expenditure budget. Those are departments that are looking at what's best for the citizens and looking at that. You can see public safety has increased the last 2 years, so we are putting a lot of money into public safety. And by my next slide here, you will see that almost 27% of our budget is public safety. And between public safety, the jail, and the judicial system that actually processes the cases that the constable's offices and the sheriff's office have, 44% of our total budget serves that function alone, of just basically the criminals that are committing acts from the JP's office, and then the JP's, the district attorney's offices, and the court's offices.
So you're saying that 44% of our entire budget is dedicated to law enforcement and law enforcement related services, correct?
That is correct. That's and that's basically, that's again, that's from the time that, let's say, someone gets a ticket, someone gets arrested, to the DA's office taking the prosecution over, to the judge's office then filing, and then if they get a jail sentence, and then including it in the jail.
As a budget officer, when you look at creating, you look at opportunities to identify efficiencies, create efficiencies, ways to eliminate waste, is it a good practice to just turn a blind eye towards 44% of the budget, or should everything be looked at?
Absolutely. I would say that everything looks at, because in the theory, maybe, but the sheriff and I have talked about it, there's different things that we can do to improve the amount of money that he has. So if you have a dollar, maybe the way that you spend it 5 years ago is a lot different than the way that you spend it in 2019. So those are the conversations that we're having. I've had those conversations with the constable's offices. I've had those. So you are seeing where departments are kind of thinking a little bit differently versus just that using that same dollar like they have the past 20 years.
And over the course of this next year, is it your intention to really get to get involved in each of the departments within the county, elected officials included, and really work with them to streamline their budgets, to move towards zero-based budgeting where it makes sense, and to help the court as well as the elected officials and department heads identify cost savings?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think a big thing for me is also to connecting it to a performance or a goal. If we have a list of things that we really want to focus on in the county and make those priorities and make our budget based on those priorities, we're going to have a really even better budget for the next years to come. So I'm very excited to kind of move into that approach. A lot of the departments are excited. I have had the constables reach out to me and want me to be involved in their offices, get to know them. So we do have a lot of department heads and elected officials that are ready for to become the 21st century budget that we know we can have, and to really be the best use of the citizens' funds.
Okay.
I think debt service is 33, it's over 10% of our budget, almost 11% of our budget, but almost 10% of our total budget is actually voted, elected bonds that the citizens actually get the opportunity to speak on. So 10% of the budget already has a vocal voice from the citizens. We did add some positions this year. 34 positions. Obviously, you can see in my slide that the breakdown of those, most of those went to public safety. Now, not all of them were deputies. We did add some admin staff in
there.
You
know how many actually went to public safety? I know last year we had 56 positions that were directly related to law enforcement or law enforcement related functions.
So out of the public safety, I know there are only two of them that were clerk type positions. And so then the other.
Or what type position?
Like clerk type position.
Oh,
admin.
But they're still supporting law
Absolutely.
Enforcement. Do you
so
know the total number that we, that was allocated?
17. 17 was allocated between the judicial offices and the public safety offices. So this is DA's office. All these departments that you can see on here have gotten, are part of that 34. So DA's office got some, county attorney's office got some. Precinct, all the constables' offices got some, the sheriff's office, and we have a plan, as you guys saw in the last court meeting, of a plan for RAND to get some other officers as well.
Okay.
So that number, that 10 deputies are not included in this number?
No. Mm-mm. No, because this, no. Because those are going to be funded by carry forward, so that's a little bit.
The 2020 budget.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's even more than that. A major expenses in FY19 that I think the court should be aware of is the economic development agreements. We have a little over $2.5 million included in the budget. The mental health treatment facility is over $15 million contribution of that budget. The sheriff's office, they receive $58,770,000 plus the additional $44 million, almost $45 million that it will take to run the jail. Employee health insurance, that is a major component of the budget. It's a little over $30 million to provide insurance for our employees and our retirees, self-funded. Again, we went out for a bid on that, and we, you know, the way that it came back is that's still probably the cheaper way to go based on the bids that we received. A 3% COLA with FICA and retirement, so the 3% cost the county a little bit over $4 million. Again, there was no raise given last year, so again, if you divide that over 2 years, that's about $2 million each year. Debt service, as I stated before, $37,710,678. Capital equipment, vehicles, and major projects was over $6.7 million. These are the cars that we're buying, the replacement equipment for the county. And then a contribution to capital improvement fund of $1 million. So next court meeting, I will bring to you guys a capital improvement plan that I want to kind of give you guys an update on where we found some funding and some updates. So that'll be something that you guys will get, you know, the first look at, first major look at next week. 57.4% of the total budget is personnel and benefits. So obviously that's where the money goes for the citizens. We're working as hard as my team is working as hard as we can for the citizens' budget, and we know that for the citizens' dollar, we hope that other county departments are doing that as well, which I believe they are. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Yes, when you look at our total budget and you compare, have you had an opportunity to look at proposed budgets from other areas and how we are, you know, how we are performing against our peer group?
So I looked at a lot of budgets based on when I was doing a lot of research about what their proposed COLA was, because that was something that we really talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on target with other counties. There was a county that we saw that was actually giving a significant higher raise. It was in West Texas, where, you know, they're facing the oil boom. But we are on par with those other agencies for sure. There's nothing out of the ordinary that you guys are adopting. I would be the first person to tell you if I thought there was something.
Well, I know for sure that there are other entities within Montgomery County that's given 2.4% increases year over year, and I know that I have to compete with those entities for hiring employees, and that's one of the things that a good manager does, is try to make certain that their employees are properly compensated.
Ms. Carter, I have to tell you, through this last budget process, I was very impressed with the effort that you put forth. In the short time that you were here, the depth of knowledge and the information that you brought to this budget hearing or to the budget workshops was impressive. We don't have the luxury of just sitting back and lobbing bombs at people. and arbitrarily saying you can cut budgets here and cut budgets there. I appreciate your time and effort and the work that you and you, the people that work with you put in to come up with this budget, and I think you did a great job. I think it's a good budget. There's always somewhere we could probably cut a little bit here and there, but I think as this county continues to grow, we need to make sure that we're prepared for that growth. And I look forward, and while I won't be here, I know that you'll do a great job now that you're spending time in those departments and making sure that everybody is funded effectively so that they can perform the job that they need to perform and without being more of a burden to the taxpayer than absolutely necessary. But good job on the budget this
year. Thank you.
Well done.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Judge,
look forward to next year.
Before we vote, I'd like to, Evan, if you'll turn on this, I want to switch to a presentation real quick that I want to discuss the auditor's proposed 2019 budget. It'll take just a second, and Evan, if you'll give a copy to the auditor and to the county clerk as well. All right, so 2019 auditor's proposed budget is, there's been a lot of conversations about what should the county, or how does the county proceed with the auditor's budget, how does it work, and after talking with the county attorney's office, listening to Phillips in court, there are two components that make up the auditor's budget that affects how it's adopted. First, you have the Board of District Judges, which sets the salary budget for the, you can move on, Evan, sets the salary budget for the auditor's office. And then number two is the portion of the budget, which is we work with the auditor to determine, and that's the operating budget for her office. As of today, we have not received word from the district judges on what they have approved for the auditor's budget. And as I understand it, there's not really a time limit. There's nothing in the statute that says when they have to make that decision. So it's not a critique against the district judges. It's just a fact that without their guidance, we really don't have anything to approve from them just yet. So the proposed budget from the budget office takes the 2018 budget less $75,469, which yields a proposed budget of $2,185,085. And sorry, y'all can't follow along. He's working. If you look at the current budget office's budget, it's $309,961. So if you take the $75,469 reduction from the auditor's budget, apply that to the proposed budget office, that leaves $234,492. As was pointed out this morning, I know that at least the judge and I felt we really wanted to see the auditor's budget reduced by the amount of the whatever the creation of the budget office was going to cost the county. So what I'd like to do is take the auditor's proposed budget of $2,185,085, subtract the $234,492, and adopt a budget of $1,950,593. If the Board of Judges sets the auditor's salary amount higher than that, then the budget office can file an amendment for the Commissioner's Court to approve. If they don't, then obviously the budget would stand as is, or the Commissioner's Court, you know, could choose to eliminate the budget office, saving the $309,961. My motion would be that when we approve the budget, that we do so and set the auditor's budget at $1,950,593, and that gives us plenty of time for the budget, for the district courts to make a recommendation as to what the auditor's budget is, and that would get us well over, you know, 9 months into her budget, so we have plenty of time to work from there.
What would that $243,000 cut out?
Well, right now, her office would be fully funded for over 9 months, and from there we just have to figure it out. But I believe that once the district judges have an opportunity to thoroughly review her budget and go through and look at the positions, that, you know, perhaps they'll come to the same conclusion that the functions that the budget office handles for her office should be reduced from her budget.
And I don't disagree with that.
So you're saying nothing's going to change in the art department except the budget office is going to take all that work off of Phyllis. She's not going to have any more work this year. Nothing's going to increase in her world.
Well, I think, and that's what we did to most all of our other departments. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, that the auditor's functionality is going to be the same. And, you know, she has budget functions spread out throughout her office, and what she's going to have to do is go through and pull those functions. She may have to reorganize her department and pull all of the budget functions from 10 different people, make sure that that's all assigned to Amanda, and then redeploy her assets in more appropriately.
I think she's going to have more work with 249 Toll Road than she would with the budget office to begin with.
It's coming.
It is coming, and I don't know what's the best thing to do here. I think she's going to have more with auditing work with that than she ever did with the budget process. So here, I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not.
Well, I don't really know what this is about. I mean, is it where are you wanting to cut $200,000?
For me, it was just when the judge and I made a recommendation to create the office of the budget. I wanted to see us reduce the auditor's budget by that amount. When you're pulling that's what I'm saying. And so
but
I think the auditor has to figure out where it comes from.
But if there's additional services that she's going to provide that are going to need additional staff, even though we saved that $300,000, there may be some additional work. Phyllis, is that what you're saying, that you're going to have additional work that you need some positions for? And I wouldn't have a problem with the Toll Road Authority paying the county.
And that's what I was going to say. Why don't we adopt a 1.95593 budget, and then as she has work to do, she bills the county for that work, and the toll road pays for itself.
Pay for itself.
Well, but how is she going to fund her people that task?
For right now, what she's going to do is she's going to have to redeploy her assets, pull all the functionality of the budget, make sure the budget office is doing it, and then use her people more efficiently and in places that are not focusing on the budget.
Phyllis, do you not do anything on the budget anymore, period?
That's not a correct statement, Commissioner. And I do appreciate the reallocation of resources and Commissioner Nowak's suggestions. The problem is that statutorily, the county auditor is responsible for certifying revenues in the county. The county auditor's office will never be out of the budget process. All of it will never leave your county auditor's office statutorily and go to the budget office.
Understand, but that's you're certifying the revenues. So you can certify those numbers, give them to the budget office for them to prepare the budget. And, I mean, that's a function that you have to do whether we have a budget office or not, correct?
That's correct.
But you're attributing that function to the budget office when that's your statutory function.
Right. What I'm saying is that the consolidation of, as you've suggested, the consolidation of all budget efforts in the auditor's office to move to the budget office is not something that will happen.
As many of them as possible.
A large portion
and,
of it
and
will,
that
obviously.
Has happened, and we have worked with the budget office through that transition this year, and the things that can move to the budget office have moved to the budget office. What I'm telling you is revenues don't go to the budget office. Those are things that are the county auditors statutorily to handle. Other things like the enforcement of the budget. The budget officer cannot just go amend the budget without that going through the county auditor's office. Otherwise, there's no way to enforce the budget. Those things would need to be reviewed and approved by the auditor's office. Those don't all happen with just one position. So there are internal controls that are in place in the auditor's office. There are some best practices that are in the auditor's office that maybe you're not aware of, but they do exist, and those don't exist with everything sitting in the seat of one person.
Ms. Carter, did you look at Ms. Martin's proposed budget and approve that? Are you recommending what she's requested here?
So at the time that we had the preliminary and proposed budget, she or preliminary budget, Phyllis hadn't even made her proposed budget to the district judges. I've seen parts of the budget because I was at the district judges meeting, but I haven't seen the whole entire budget, proposed budget that she has. So I'm not. I know that she is wanting to do a reorg. I do know that she has, a plan, but as to exactly, what I have right now in my proposed budget, Phyllis and I talked over the summer. This was way before she did her proposed budget and before she actually got ironed out the details, and we talked about it, and she said, I think that I'm probably going to have to get to reevaluate my and get rid of one person in her office. And so that's exactly what you see in that budget, is one offset. Now, between the conversation that I had then and now, Phyllis's office could have changed. There could have been, I'm not really sure as to what happened. I don't know the amount of work that they do, but I do know that she does have a plan with the Board of Judges that has a reclassification of two people to different duties. So I do know that. I would not imagine if the district judges approve her budget, as I saw the other day, it would not be a decrease of $300,000.
It would not be what?
There would not be a significant decrease.
Repeat what you just said.
Based on the budget that I've seen so far, which is only parts and pieces, if the district judges approve the budget as Phyllis has proposed, you're not going to see a significant
decrease.
Would it
be the $75,000? Would that be the decrease we would see?
I don't even believe it would be that much.
But the district judges are the ones that approve that budget, correct?
That's correct.
And how do we move forward if the district judges haven't approved a budget yet?
Can we approve a budget as a placeholder until we get their approval and do a budget amendment?
Right now, they're expected. I have according to Nate, they are planning on adopting a budget for the auditor's office September 14th. It's been noticed. That's their plan. Obviously, plans can change. So my goal is to have September 25th a budget amendment to your office to
reflect whatever they
to reflect the change, right? Or a budget adjustment, because it may not be an amendment if we're not moving, if we're just adjusting it, moving the money from contingency or something. That's an adjustment. It's not an amendment.
So
let's be very clear on that.
Let me make a recommendation. So if we take the conservative approach and we adopt the budget at $1,950,593, not only are we being true to our at least some of our idea of reducing the auditor's budget by the amount of the budget office, but we're also sending a message to the district judges of what we would like to see. Obviously, they can make their own decision, but in a I think that's a conservative approach. And if they want it to be more, then on the 25th, we can have that conversation. But my motion would be that we adopt the budget office. We adopt the auditor's budget at the $1.9 million.
We really need to send a message to the district judges. That's their job, to approve Phyllis's budget.
One way or another.
Maybe sending a message, but I think it lets them know that we view that as a very conservative way to proceed.
I think we all agreed when we created this budget office that we wanted to see the auditor's budget reduced. You keep saying some of us.
Well, I didn't want to put the words in anybody's mouth.
But you were.
Well, that's why I just said some. If you want to
come in and say we all that's what we wanted to happen. But we still don't know what the district judges are going to do. I don't have a problem with this 1.9, as long as we can amend it.
Absolutely.
I don't know why
we can amend
and
it.
And actually, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to.
Yeah,
it's
whether
the
it's 1.9 or whether
option.
It's
the so why do we need to go through
point.
This?
So I need the reason that you have to have something is, let's assume for just a second that something happens to three of the district judges and they're not able to meet. You're going to need to have something adopted in the budget to pay those people, or you're going to have to lay everybody off October 1st. That's the reason that you want to put a placeholder in the budget.
It can't do a zero.
Putting a zero.
Right.
Because
doesn't your presented budget as of this morning that we're fixed to vote on have the $2,185,085 for audit department in it?
Yes.
understand what you want. I don't know why
and I don't disagree, but I mean,
well, if we can make an adjustment to increase it, we can make an adjustment to decrease it, I assume.
Correct.
Absolutely.
The conservative approach,
I don't
think.
See a sense in changing the budget that we have today for $200,000 or whatever it is. If we can, let's wait and see what they come up with, and then we can adjust accordingly
and
after we approve this
and
budget.
I mean, fingers crossed, everything goes well. You will have an amendment or an adjustment to you before the budget even starts. So that we will make the verbiage that way.
We
actually
number. If they meet on the 14th, we'll have an amendment on the 25th, and then we'll know what exactly it is when we start our budget.
Yes.
What'd you say?
So Amy wants me to put my last slide up.
So in order to adopt the budget, there's certain language that needs to be said, and the motions need to be clear. And we can make an amendment or an adjustment like on the 25th that you're talking about after the Board of District Judges meets and approves the salaries. But I just want to be clear about what we're moving on and what we're agreeing to step by step through Amanda's process.
Either way,
so
we're
going to
go
correctly.
Up or down based on what the judges do next.
Right.
Week.
Okay. And we would have to, based on as they set the salaries, we would have to do that. Now, the operational budget, you work with the auditor's office to set that.
Right.
We just want to make sure that you guys know, too, that there's two motions that require a budget to be adopted. You have to give the first motion of basically the truth in taxation, and then you have to give a second motion of whatever you want the budget to be.
Right. And the first motion would not change based on what the Board of Judges does. So that'll stay the same. It's the language that Judge Doyle loves.
Yeah, it's you know, the legislature's requested or requires that we say this, but I think it's in the name of truth in taxation, but it's not the truth, because while the tax rate stays the same, the revenue will go up, which requires the coming motion. Any other questions or comments, Commissioner, before we make that motion?
No, I made the motion to adopt the budget with that.
Well, we have to
do
this.
Do it this way first and then
first.
Add it in. Got it.
Yeah. We have to do this motion, then we adopt the budget this one.
Right.
Okay.
So the first motion would be, and I would move to adopt the budget that will raise.
Say what? I'm sorry. No, Commissioner Nowak's motion. We do away with that now?
No, he says we do it second.
Well, we have to do the motion, the original motion for the truth in taxation, and then we'll move to adopt the budget.
Okay.
So
Amy's saying we need to table my motion, do this.
Table your motion. All right. Okay, so my motion would be a move to adopt a budget that will raise more revenue from property taxes than last year's budget by an amount of $8,166,296, which is a 3.82% increase from last year's budget. The property tax revenue to be raised from the new property added to the tax rolls this year is $6,079,034.18.
And this motion is to adopt the budget you prepared for.
We need a second. That's his motion. We need a second.
I move.
That was my motion.
I second.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
I'm confused.
Yeah. I don't know why we're doing it this way.
It's the truth in
taxation. So we're not adopting the budget yet.
Not adopting the budget yet.
No.
Okay. You're adopting a budget that will have this increase. Because no matter what budget you adopt, if you adopt a budget that's
the tax rate we're going to approve, that's what it's going to do. Regardless of what we do with Phyllis's
budget. So we're kind of adopting a tax rate, but not really.
No.
No, we're adopting a total revenue.
See what you've done.
All right.
We're adopting a total revenue is what we're adopting right now.
That's what you've done. You've
and then we'll adopt the budget that allocates that revenue next.
Right. And now you're going to talk about the fiscal year 2019 proposed budget.
Well, first we need to have a motion and a second.
We voted, right?
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. Okay.
Perfect.
We have approved the revenue that we will receive. Now.
Got it.
Now.
And I'd like to make a motion that we move with the recommended budget minus the $234,492 from the auditor's office. So, any seconds?
There are seconds.
And that gives us the opportunity to do what we wanted to do, I believe, as a court when we created the office.
You know what? I'm going to second that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you.
Okay.
The only reason I'm doing that, because we got the chance, if something goes haywire, we got the chance to amend it.
What if we, what if it's 2-2?
It's 2-2.
Grabs in.
It's 2-2.
No, seriously.
We'll vote and see, I guess.
So the motion is to approve the budget with the changes
to the auditor's,
to the auditor's budget, with the caveat that on when we get the district judge's recommendations on the 25th, we can make an adjustment.
Are you wanting to adopt a budget that is less than, like, what are you wanting to do with that? Because our budget has those revenues in there, so you either have to reallocate those expenses that you do want to, like, or just
reallocate
lower
them to contingency for now.
I was going
to say. So we'll take the $234,492 out of the auditor's budget, place those into contingency. So the revenues are.
The revenue's not going to change. Yeah,
correct.
That's not going to change. So that money would be in contingency in the event that the district judges come back and approve of the positions, okay, and then we can adjust the budget back to that number accordingly. Okay. There is a motion and a second. Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
One opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Now, Ms. McCray.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, now we get to do this again, except for the tax rate. Okay.
Not sure, are you?
Item 5A. Consider, adopt, and set by order resolution the 2018 ad valorem tax rate for maintenance and operation. And the judge has some language that's required by TNT.
Specifically required language, which again, I voiced my distaste with, but I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of 0.4667, which is effectively a 2.44% increase in the tax rate. Which is really not. It's an increase in the revenues, but the tax rate itself stays exactly the same.
Move.
Oh, that's motion is second. Any other questions or I have to make that motion.
Oh, sorry. Okay. You and Charlie made it.
So any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, so adopt and set the order resolution of the 2018 ad valorem tax rate for maintenance and operation. The maintenance and operation rate that the budget is based on is 0.3909 per $100 valuation.
You just need a motion.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Item 5B, consider, adopt, and set by order resolution the 2018 ad valorem tax rate for debt service, and the debt service rate that is the budget is based on is 0.0758 per $100 valuation.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
We have our budget set. We have our tax rate set. Amy, we're going to...
We have one more.
We haven't done
the...
Okay. I'm sorry. Oh,
5C, consider, adopt, and approve an order resolution allocating the 2018 ad valorem adopted tax rate, including general fund, road and bridge, and debt service fund. We're now taking the maintenance and operation rate, and we're allocating it between general fund and road and bridge. The general fund is 0.3423. The road and bridge is 0.0486.
It's what, Tim?
0.0486 for road and bridge, and 0.0758 for debt service.
Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Anything else, Ms. McCray, Ms. Carter? Everything good? Okay. All right, Amy, do we need to adjourn?
We're going to adjourn this session.
Meeting?
We're going to go
okay.
to the next notice meeting. And
okay. So we now need to adjourn this session of our Commissioners Court.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We're adjourned.